Okay, is it going? Oh, yeah. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, B-Fan Podcast. Thank you for tuning in, and as always, thank you for giving me your time. Today, I'm here with...
Welcome to Heidi, Heidi Clements.
Yeah, and tell us a little bit about yourself, Heidi.
I think my bio says I am a 63-year-old fashion-addicted storyteller.
Yeah.
Sums me up. I'm a writer, or I would say that's how I've earned most of my living as a writer, and now somebody who is sort of trying to make a living on social media.
Wait, what you write?
Well, for years I was a writer in news, and then I ran some entertainment shows. I ran Entertainment Tonight. And then for 6 years, I was one of the writers of the TV show Baby Daddy that was on Freeform. We recorded 100 episodes. It was a sitcom on Freeform. And it was a great show.
That's nice. So where are you from, Heidi?
I was born in Staten Island, New York.
Yeah.
And I went to college in Boston, and then I lived in New York City for about 18 years, and then I moved to Los Angeles in 1996.
And what was that move like from NY to LA?
You know, it was really hard at first.
Really?
I was ready to leave New York because New York had a lot of snowstorms that year, 95, I think it was, or 96. And I was tired of fighting my way to work every day. And so I got a job offer in Los Angeles, and I just said, screw it, I'm going to take it. And it was, I think the first 6 months were awful. And then I fell in love with LA. It's very different now than it was back then. It was sort of more small town feeling. And now it feels like a city, which is why I moved again.
Yeah.
But
Oh, you moved again?
Yeah, I live in Santa Barbara now. By the ocean.
Oh, actually, I just had a friend up there yesterday. He played soccer for like the school or whatever. They had a game up there, but that's pretty nice. And then what are some of the things you feel like you've learned from moving all the way across the country, even more recently or when you first started moving, and how you feel like that difference has really, you know?
I think you just have to, you know, it's hard to pick up and change your life, especially if you don't have any friends. I didn't have any friends in Los Angeles. I think I had one friend in Los Angeles. I think you just always have to remember that you're a lot stronger than you think.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I don't know, it's some of the topics that I wanted to talk on. I think I emailed you about the questions that I had the other day, but I don't feel like finding them. So I'm going to jump into. So the first question I had that we could start the conversation with is like, how do you feel about rediscovering a purpose in your life? Because we go through a lot of changes and we grow up. And as kids, we want to be firefighters, people who drive spaceships, what they call them, astronauts, you know what I'm saying? So we want to aspire to be all these things. And then shit just changes sometimes. So how do you feel about rediscovering a purpose in life?
Yeah, it's funny. I just talked about this morning in my post about all the different she's that I have been in my life. I think it's just important to have an open mind about what you're going to do and to listen to your gut so that you don't get stuck doing things that you don't want to do for the wrong reasons. Like I was in a career for a very long time because it paid really well. And it wasn't my true calling, which is more scripted writing. And I had to sort of start all the way over again at 51 to become a scripted writer, which most people don't want to do. And I say, like, if you know that you want to be something and you can't make money being that thing, just do as many other things as possible, but don't give up on that thing. Always keep that thing going because you'll get distracted by other things. But, you know, as you grow up, of course, things you want to do change. That's what being a human being is all about. And that's awesome. I mean, I wanted to be a veterinarian when I was a kid. I certainly don't want to do that now.
Yeah, just dealing with, I don't know how to say, I don't want to say losses, but like being able to bounce back from like seeing big changes. A lot of people are like go under, you know what I mean? Like they'll see something drastically change in their life and then they're like, oh, this is the end, this is the end. How do you stay away from that mindset? Because I found myself going under sometimes where it's like, I don't know what I'm gonna do next. I don't know who I want to be, what I want to do. And I'm this young thinking that. So how do you feel like?
I mean, you can't ever give up on yourself. Because mm-hmm. the only person who is going to be there to support you through all of your dreams is you. No one else is, you know? No one else is going to support you the way you are going to support you. No one else is going to make your dreams come true. No one's coming to save you.
Yeah.
You have to do it. So if you give up on you, it's over.
Right. Let's see what else I've got.
I've been trying to sell the same idea for over 10 years now, and I'm still trying to do it. Like, I'm never going to give up on that.
What idea is it?
Just a TV show that I want to produce about women over 50, a scripted show.
Talk more about it. I want to hear about this.
I want to talk more about it. You don't want to, the one thing you don't want to do, there's something called a collective conscience where your ideas end up somewhere else. So yeah,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Sometimes down low, but it's a scripted show about women over 50.
I think that's going to be really nice.
That I've been writing since I was 50, which is 13 years now.
Yeah. That's going to be really nice when it do happen.
You can't give up. No, you can't give up. Sometimes the world isn't ready for what you want to do. And you just got to keep at it. Like if I watch all of my favorite TV shows that were groundbreaking, every single one of them said, oh, it took us 10 years to get this. Nobody wanted to make this. I have a friend who just directed her first movie because nobody would give her the money to do it. So she mortgaged her house.
Those are like necessary risks that you have to take. And one thing I used to find myself like worrying about was like money, 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 money. I need the money to do it. I need the money to do this. But one thing I'm starting to learn now is like, if you can do the stuff you want to do without the money to have it, imagine how much better you will be when you do get the funding that you need or whatever. So yeah. I know I want to.
Now, I mean, you could shoot a movie on your iPhone.
Yeah, they got all this beautiful quality. Apps are free. So it's like just being able to work with what you have.
You don't say no to yourself, you know?
Yeah.
There's plenty of people that are going to say no to you. Don't say no to yourself, you know?
Yeah, and then try not to take no for an answer. It'll be opportunities out there. You'll go ask one person and they'll tell you no. But I remember even being a kid, if my mom told me no, I'll go try to call my dad to see if I can get a yes. If my dad tells me no, I'm going to go call my grandparents. My grandparents tell me no, I'm going to ask my sister. So it's like, by any means necessary, try to get that yes. And then back to doing what you can with what you have. I see myself, like I was telling you before we started the chat, is that I wanted to start doing more creative work. And I don't even own a camera. I'm using all of my friends' cameras to get like clips and shit together that can ultimately lead me somewhere that I want to go. And another thing that I discovered in just starting and getting on with whatever it is I want to do is that once you're on the path that you're sort of meant to be on at that point in time, life will seem a bit easier, if that makes sense. Everything can start to gravitate towards you, and then it's up to you to grasp those opportunities. So I start working with the camera, I start taking pictures, and then I find out one of the good friends that I have is like on like assistant director of a short film set here at the school, right? So he tells me just come check it out. And me being able to jump into those opportunities after just starting the film camera, after not knowing how I was ever going to get as far as I wanted to get, it's just crazy to me how that jumped out at me and I was able to hold on to that.
Because you're saying yes to opportunities, number one. And number two, you're in what I like to call the flow.
Yeah. And
you're just in the flow of being happy with what you're doing and not worrying about the outcome. Like, don't worry if someone's going to buy your movie. Just make your movie. Don't worry about, just, you know, be in the flow of being creative. And when you open up your own opportunity to you, when you open up yourself to your ideas and what you're doing and not worry about the outcome, a lot of things will come through.
Yeah. And what
the universe wants you to be happy, Austin.
Yes. And you got to be able to take that opportunity and grasp onto it and don't let it go. You know what I mean? Yeah. So just what are some flow moments you feel like you've had in your life where you was just like on this good streak? I feel like
right now, actually, I'm in a really good flow because I'm not so much worried about what happens. I'm just doing what I want to do and being happy. I mean, I certainly never thought that I would be a social media influencer at 63 years old with over a million followers. Like, what? I didn't set out to do that. I set out to just, you know, wear some clothes and tell some stories. And I think, again, I didn't worry about the outcome. And that was like a really good flow. And it's transferred into my scripted writing. And I feel much more like at peace with what I'm doing because I'm just doing it for me.
Yeah. And then you're just doing what you love. And that's another thing I push to everybody around me is that don't worry about the monetary outcome of whatever is going on. If you're doing what you love, it's going to get funded in some way. You don't have to have the most money in the world to be happy. Even though money, I feel like money does bring happiness, but as long as it's sustainable.
Well, it brings freedom, you know, from stress. Yeah. And I do that, you know, freedom is happiness. And yeah, I mean, I talked about money yesterday. I mean, I have said I'm terrible with money. I like spending it, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, you gotta not worry about the outcome.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I got one. I really like this question. Who was your biggest enemy and then how did you forgive them?
I haven't forgiven them.
Really?
No.
Do you want to talk about it?
I had a boss. I've had a lot of shitty bosses, but I had one who was very, truly awful. And, I ended up quitting the job and I wrote a book and one of the chapters in the book was about her and it was probably the meanest thing I've ever written about anybody. Yeah. And it ended up becoming public and it ended up getting in the New York Post because she was known for being a hard person. I still haven't forgiven her. I've forgiven everyone else in life that has wronged me because what's the point, you know?
Yeah.
But she, I just can't do it.
And then another thing I was talking about with a friend a couple of weeks ago on the episode was like being able to forgive oneself. Do you feel like you've been able to forgive yourself over the years? Or
Yeah, for sure.
And how does that journey look like for you? How did it look like for you to?
You know, I just, again, I talked about this today. Like you just got self-love is the most important. And I don't mean like, oh, I like who I am. I mean like unabashedly love yourself because you've got to love all the flaws, all the highs, all the lows. You've got to love the mistakes that you've made. You know, I somehow have managed to not have shame about the things that I've done in my life that are bad, like being an alcoholic, just stuff that I did. I don't have shame about it because it all goes back to whatever trauma I experienced as a child. And I don't believe that was my fault. And so I think you have to release the shame that you have about things that didn't work out the way that you wanted them to. I think shame stops people from being creative. Like, oh, what if nobody likes it? I feel so stupid. Yeah. If social media didn't exist, you would have a lot less shame.
Really? And, though? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you.
I don't know what people thought about me when I was a kid. I still don't really think about like, oh, do other people talk about me when I'm out there? Yeah. Like that's weird because I didn't grow up with that. You know, I didn't know that that was a thing that people did, like talked about other people. So I think you just have to like not have shame attached to the things you've done or do and just, you know, just try and leave Earth better than you came.
And better than you found it. Are there some questions you want to ask me? I'm so open to answering questions. I love to answer questions.
Questions to ask you? Well, I think I asked them all before, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? What are you doing right now in college? What are you studying?
I'm studying business entrepreneurship. And okay. I think that's a pretty good, not pastime, but that's a pretty good subject for me to like, yeah, pretty good subject for me to stay on because I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's more simple. And I would rather learn like the foundations of business and everything underlying it and then teach myself the other stuff. I don't want to go to school for like film or art because to me, that type of stuff doesn't need school. Unless you're looking for like a certain internship or a certain job, which you can still get without the degree.
Yeah. Creativity. I mean, you could learn to use the equipment, but you can't learn to be.
Yeah, you can't teach somebody to be an artist. I feel like that's one thing that is very centered within the self. Not everybody draws the same and not everybody is going to see art the same. So being a creative is basically taking whatever ideas or imagination you have in your head and trying to display it so that the rest of the world can see it. And that's not something I want to go to school for and then try to go 4 years learning about when that's something that feels way more fulfilling if I do it myself. You know what I'm saying? Reading books, writing down stuff, writing small paragraphs, even if I don't think they're going to go anywhere or if I don't have anywhere to post it, I'm getting more into the just post it just because. Nobody's, what are they going to do? Bully you?
Post like no one's looking at it.
Yeah, and even if two people look at it, at least that's two people that viewed it. And I used to get so insecure about the amount of views I was getting on videos or the amount of likes and comments. And I'm like, you know what? People going to see it regardless. And one day it's just going to pop off. Today could be the day. I wake up every day and I'm like, if I want this shit to pop off, today could be the day. And if I don't post today, that moment would never happen. So I just go into it like, all right, if it didn't shoot up like I thought it was going to shoot up, maybe it's more for me to improve. So I'm just having fun with it and I'm looking
at
it.
Here's the thing. The problem is it's a dopamine hit to get something to go viral, you know, and then you crave it. And the truth of the matter is, I suffer from it all the time. I'm like, oh shit, that post didn't do well. Well, does that mean that the post wasn't any good or that my story wasn't any good? No. And so, you know, you have to be a creator without social media. You still have to create. And it's important to have like expanders in your life, people whose work you look at and think, oh, I want to be like that. Not I'm jealous of them, but I want to be that. I want to do that. Somebody who expands your worldview or your view of what you want to do. I mean, that's what social media is good for, but you can't rely. I mean, and I tell myself this all the time, like you can't rely. Like my TikTok was huge and I still have a really big following, but my views are terrible. And I can't control that. That's their fucking algorithm, you know?
Yeah.
And so I have a much more of a community on Instagram. And that's been fun. But again, you get hooked on that dopamine hit of, oh my God, this went viral. And you can't. You have to just create and keep creating, you know? Like all the people that I am in love with, they probably never care about social media because they did their thing without it, you know?
Mm-hmm. So turning envy to inspiration, who are some of the people that you looked up to or that you still look up to and you look for, I don't know, creative help, not even creative help, but like, you know, that inspiration.
You know, I'm inspired by all kinds of fashion that I see on Instagram and TikTok. I'm inspired by people who just, like people that I've watched when they were nothing become something just by sheer perseverance. Like one of my favorite musical artists is this kid named Noah Kahan. Mm-hmm. And he's like a pop folk singer. And I followed him when he like didn't have any followers at all. And he had one song out and now he's playing stadiums. And I love watching people achieve their dreams.
Yeah.
There's a ton of people whose, you know, creativity I love. It's, you know, people who like succeed against all odds, you know?
That's beautiful.
What about you? Who do you look up to?
I think it's more the same of like what you just said, just being able to like see people who watch people's journeys at the same time that I'm going through mine. And that used to be discouraging. I'll be honest and be like, oh, why are they moving faster than I am? Or why do they have this and why do they have that? But like, once I started to separate myself from that type of mindset, I was able to see like, oh my God, that is beautiful to watch how their progression is moving forward.
It's also important not to follow people that make you think, why me?
Yeah. Because
there's room for everybody. There is room for everybody to succeed. Mm-hmm. There's enough to go around. And if you get into a why me headset, headspace,
yeah,
it's very detrimental. You're just going to stay in why me. Mm-hmm. If you stay in like you said, like, oh my God, that's so beautiful. They made it. You're gonna experience that too.
Yeah.
You get back what you put out.
Yeah. And then that why me thing, it's like, what was it? Like, I just got a call last night from one of my friends from back home, but he's in college in Florida right now. And he was like, he came to the realization that it's more than what the eye can see with everybody. You look at all these people, you look at people around you, you see people on social media, you see celebrities, you see superstars, and all we see is the highlights. You know what I'm saying? We never see the lowlights or what goes on behind the scenes. So it becomes harder to ask yourself, why me, once you understand that people go through shit too.
People lie on social media. I mean, I think one of the reasons I'm successful is because I tell the truth about my life. I say, like, I have no money. I'm broke. I am in debt. Like, I tell the truth about how I'm feeling and what I'm going through. And very few people on social media do. They don't want you to know. They're showing you, you know, one frame of 24 mm-hmm. hours. And most of the time, it's a lie. It's just a lie. Don't believe social media unless you're following me.
Yeah, and it's like, being able to step out into the mindset that you have in terms of like just being able to tell the truth on social media is like telling the truth in general has just gotten me way further than deceptiveness could ever get me. And I've realized that over the course of my years, I've always tried to be a genuine person. And I don't think I've ever set out to be anything but genuine and authentic. I never want to have underlying reasons for why I'm doing things. You know what I'm saying? So even when it comes to asking people such as yourself to be on the podcast, I do that because I enjoy like listening to your stories. I will see you all the time. And I'll be like, wow, that's amazing. And you put the clothes on. I'll be like, see, that's inspiring. So being able to like land interviews like this or land interviews with people that's big in stature, it's not for any of my value in terms of like, oh, because they have a big following, this episode is going to pop off. Even if this episode got zero views, I would still know I got a beautiful conversation out of it. And I stepped a little bit closer to who I want to be in life. And I don't know, it's beautiful just to see myself grow along with others. And I just enjoy these type of conversations and the people that I'm meeting and then the places that I can get to. And yeah, not because I want to, what's it called? Upgrade my lifestyle. I'm gonna do that regardless in terms of just living. I don't really care. But
I have faith in you, Austin.
Thank you so much. Just being able to see all that. But some struggles that I've been through in my life have always been like dealing with like deaths and losses, like the grieving process. I've never like truly understood how any of that worked. And I was thinking about this before the call started. It was like, I was just thinking about all like the great grandparents I lost, my grandparents that I lost. And like, I grew up with them. So I was able to know them and develop relationships with them. And then when I turned about like, I don't know, how old am I now? About stepping into like tweens, like 10, 11 years old or whatever. It just was like year after year, it was people just falling one after the other, like unexpected deaths. And it got to a point where I just didn't know how to comprehend that. And I feel like I took all of the anger I felt, all of the sadness and confusion that I felt, and balled it up into this one big glob or whatever, and then locked it up inside of me. And it took me years, even being a kid. I know I'm only 19, but like, you know, age doesn't dictate what you can feel. So being able to not being able to, but feeling all of that anger and hurt that I felt inside of me for so long had me anxious. It had me trying to discover who I was and who I wanted to be and how I was going to get there. Or I was always self-conscious about things. I was always scared something was going to leave me unexpectedly. Like, on the second day of school now, I still get like hella anxiety because I think, I hope I don't get a phone call. Because 2 years in a row, on the second day of school, I lost a fucking family member. So it was like, damn. So I step into that second day every year like, please, yeah. I don't want that call. And I don't know. But
I mean, I haven't had a lot of death in my life, thankfully. I just lost my mom last March. But I feel like in life in general, when it comes to things like stress and death and all of those things, you just have to sort of let go because everything good happens when you let go and not let these things define you, because it's just a story in the many stories of your life. And it's better to remember that person as someone you loved, because they wouldn't want to look down at you thinking like, oh God, he's miserable and scared and I stressed him out. Like that you have to let their soul go to its rightful place of living in a joyous world, wherever that is beyond the world we are in now. And just remember all the good things and try not to focus on the stress of it, you know?
And because
that's not going to change what happened. Freaking out about somebody dying is not going to change the fact that they died.
Yeah. And just stepping into that, it took me, I don't know, it took me a little minute to understand that concept of what you were just talking about in terms of like, it's not going to change. They're gone. You know what I'm saying? The only thing we can do is like accept it for what it is. And then at the same time, another thing I was talking about the other day on the episode was that, oh, what did he say? It just left my brain. He was saying like, what was we was talking about how,
death and souls and passing and...
Oh, yeah. The future and the past don't really exist. And the only thing that exists is right now. So it's like...
there is no such thing as time. Yeah. Everything is happening all at the same time. The reason why you can see yourself in the future is because it already happened. It's your job now to get to it.
Yeah. So
there's an amazing book called The Midnight Library that's about a woman who decides she's going to kill herself. But before she dies, she ends up in a library that's filled with all of the books of all of the lives she could lead. And she jumps in and out of all of these different lives before deciding what's going to happen to her. It's wonderful and fascinating. And to me, explains very much what we are in life.
The Midnight Library. I like that. So yeah,
it'll be a movie, so you can wait till the movie comes out.
Oh, that sounds even better. Being able to understand that the past nor the future exists has really helped me step into a period in my life where it's like, I'm not a bad person because I don't grieve the death of the people that have, you know, fallen out of my lives. And I've accepted that I've had them in my life for a certain amount of time. And I guess it was just their time to go. And they ran their course. So I can't sit down and be depressed. And I used to think that's how death used to work. You would have to like be sad for super long or feel a certain type of way. But now that I step into it, it's like, no, you don't.
Celebrate their life and what they brought into your life. And they don't want you to be miserable.
That's not something that has to be tied to that.
That's not honoring them at all. That's just super selfish, actually.
It is.
Yeah.
Because how do you think they would feel if you was causing all this ruckus over something that happened? Like, it's okay. It's not going to change it. And that's how I stepped into, like, letting go of the fear of my own death. I was like, what I'm going to do? Be mad? I'm going to be mad that I died? Like, it's nothing. but, like, I can't really, even if I do it, it's not like I'm going to step back into my body and keep living. It's like, once it happens, it happens. So
nobody's promised tomorrow.
Exactly.
Live your life today
to the fullest. There's no other place that you should be. And I don't know. Being able to go through that journey myself has really, not myself, I'm not going to say that, being able to go through that journey with the people around me and leveraging off of what they tell me or using the advice to the fullest that however I wanted to use it, or being in those environments where people have uplifted me without even knowing that I'm going through something. There's been many times that people have saved my life and they don't even know it. You know, it's days where I'll be down and I feel like that's the last straw and somebody will say something that uplifts me. Being able to get the, what do they call it? Being able to hear the compliments that people feel about you really can propel you forward in a way that they don't even know. And we have so many different impacts on so many different lives, and sometimes we'll never know it. You'll probably say something.
I think it's important to tell people how you feel about them while you're here. You know, I always say, tell your friends that you love them and make it weird, because why are we waiting till people die to tell them how important they were to us? Tell them now.
Give them flowers while they're alive. So
exactly.
Yeah. And speak your mind. If you're in public and you got something to say, just say it out loud or you might change somebody's life. If you walking down the street and you feel compelled to tell somebody that they look like today.
Yes. Huh? Yeah, I agree. If it's a good thought, we don't need to spew all of our negative bullshit on everybody all the time.
Yeah, no, don't do that.
I used to do that a lot. I was pretty angry when I was younger. But yeah, so positive stuff. Yeah, definitely let people know.
Be the positive light that shines into people's lives. But yeah. And do you feel like you were ever dependent on anybody and then you had to learn to be independent, or have you been independent Heidi Clemens all your life?
Yeah, no, I was never a dependent person. Because I couldn't depend on anybody when I was a child, so I learned to not be dependent on anybody else. I mean, I was a people pleaser, for sure. I think I had a pretty unnurtured childhood. You know, I didn't have parents that were super huggy and said, I love you all the time and said, you can be anything you want to be. I didn't have those kind of parents.
Yeah.
So it taught me, you know, an unnurtured child is usually fairly independent for all the wrong reasons. You know, we live in like fight or flight and we usually are people pleasers, which I was, and I'm not anymore. I learned that no is a complete sentence.
Yeah.
But no, I've never been somebody, I don't depend on anybody but myself, because it makes me feel like a burden to ask somebody to do anything for me. And that's something I've actually had to unlearn, because I needed help. Like right now I'm living it with friends who are supporting me and I needed to ask for that. And I did, and it worked out great. But yeah, not very good with the dependence thing.
That's good. Well,
it's good and bad. Well,
yeah, it's good. It's a blessing and a curse.
I mean, you can really only depend on yourself the most, but it's important to know that it's important to have people in your life that will protect you and save you and be there for you and support you. And, you know, we all need support.
Yeah.
So kind of a double-edged.
Yeah, double-edged sword. And one thing that I've always done as a kid was like, not even always, but something that I've always learned is like, understand when it's time to ask for help. Because if you try if you go through everything alone, it may seem fulfilling to you at the end once you get through it, but you didn't took a project that could have took you, I don't know, for time's sake, 30 minutes, but instead it took you 3 days. You know what I'm saying? So
all
you had to do was ask one person for help and maybe that would have got you.
Yeah, agreed. For sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, dang, I had a really good topic I wanted to get on. What about attachment styles? How do you feel about people that get attached to things, or have you ever been attached to anything?
No. Money.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah.
No, not really. I don't. No, I think I understand everything is fleeting.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe my dogs, I might get attached to them, but even though they don't last forever, you know?
Yeah, that's beautiful to know. But
Yeah.
how do you use, because I really like to dress up as well. I do the fashion thing. I like to put clothes on. I like to go to the flea markets and get like
Yeah.
the stuff. It don't have to always be like big logo on the front, you know what I mean? But like I like to
No.
get like the subtle things to where it's like, yeah, and I know what I got on, and I don't need
I don't
everybody to
care
know
about
what I can do.
designer labels. I care about the quality of their clothes, which tends to be better than fast fashion, but I
Yeah.
am not paying for their stupid label. And I don't
Price.
want the label on my, I don't want it. I don't want to see it. I don't want
Yeah.
your LV and your Gucci. Like, I love Gucci, but I don't need a GG on everything.
And then it don't have to be super big. I hate those big print logos to where it's like everybody knows what you rock. Like,
I
chill,
know
let
that's
me.
a whole status thing, but I don't,
Yeah, I don't really care for it. And
no.
if I can go to the thrift store and find like a good solid pair of jeans, that's what I've been learning. It's like I would rather do
Yeah,
that than pay
thrifting is
fucking.
great. There's enough clothes on the planet to go to last forever. So thrifting is great. I thrift a lot of stuff, and I enjoy that. And I love clothes. I could wear something new every day, which is a problem, but
Yeah.
it's an expression for me, you know, it's art. I'm creating like a canvas every day of an outfit, and I love that.
Yeah. But
You done with me yet?
I don't want to be. I really like the conversation. Is it any more questions that you have for me?
That I have for you. Yeah. How does it feel to be a young man in America today? What are you worried about?
What am I worried about being a young man in America
Being a
today?
young black man in America
Yeah,
today, what are you
being a
worried about?
young black man,
It's
it
not
gets,
easy.
yeah, it's not. And it's like, I feel blessed to be able to have stepped out of some of the situations that I have been placed in. I don't like to, not brag, but I don't like to leverage my past as something that is like something that should be like glorified or whatever in terms of like where I came from, because growing up in Detroit, that's not easy. And I want a lot of people to know that, yeah, the stuff that you see like on the internet about Detroit is some of that stuff is like actually true. And it's the areas that I grew up in, it could have been nice. I know it could have been nice that it could have been the last time that I saw like either of my parents, you know what I mean? Or last time I've seen a family member. It's been times where I didn't know if my dad was coming home because of something I saw on the news. And it's been times where my next door neighbor's fucking house got raided. You know what I mean? So it's like being in those environments and then trying to get yourself out of that situation. I remember I used to play basketball in the street, and the people who I was hooping with, like the grown men I was playing with, I'd be like 7, 8 years old. They got ankle monitors on. So they like, it's like these are real people, and it's dangerous people that's around, but if you a genuine soul, the world is gonna find a way to work for you. And I just remember growing up playing sports because that was a lot of what got me through life, being able to play sports. It wasn't my creative things weren't always on display as a child, but I was always good at sports. So it was like people was like, oh, this is his thing. Let's push him to do that. I remember being in the neighborhood playing with the grown men, playing basketball, and it was always like, man, Austin, you gotta get up out of here. When you get up out of here, just don't forget us, but don't look back and leave. And when you leave, try not to look back. And if you do look back, just make sure you're giving back and then keep moving forward. Because that life, as you get older, it's easier to look back and get roped into because the fast money becomes a thing. And then it's like, once you get that fast money gonna be the hardest money you ever make. But once you see the fast money, you're gonna wanna try it out. And once you fall into the wrong group of people, they gonna rope you in and you're gonna be cooked. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna be harder to get out of where you're going. But just again, I've just been so fortunate.
Do you feel like it's I'm going to take a picture. Do you feel like it's getting easier to be a black man in America, or just as bad as it always has been?
You know what? I'm not even sure. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm not even sure, but I feel like back then, I think racism used to be a lot more on display. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody would tell you, like, I don't like you because you're this. But now it's more tailored toward I don't know, it's easier to tailor certain groups to sneak racism, or not even racism, but biasness. Like,
I'm Jewish, so there's a lot of anti-Semitism in the country right now.
Yes, shit like that. And it's like, it's kind of easier to do these more subtle things that'll prick you, but it's not big enough for you to say anything. So you got to kind of take that one on the shoulder, or take that hit, blow on the chin, and keep moving. And so,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's still hard, and it always will be hard.
You're not letting it stop you.
Yeah, I don't want to ever let it stop me, or ever even put myself in a position where I'm the person that's like, oh, I didn't achieve my dreams because I'm Black and I'm in America. No, it don't have to be like that. You just got to find a way to make your way. And it's more kind people out here now. It's more people willing to help from all over. But I just have to be able to step outside myself as a Black man and kind of let go of that. I don't know if it's a chip on the shoulder or that type of pride that's like, I can do it independently because I'm this. I can do it independently because I'm that. I'm not ashamed to ask for help from anybody and everybody. So
yeah, okay. Have you seen Ana de Vernay's movie Origin?
Mm-mm. What's that about? Okay. Let me see. Let me type it down quick.
It's about being Black and Jewish and in America and in the world, and how there always has to be some small group that everyone gangs up on and hates. It's really fascinating.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
I'll probably end up watching it tonight if I can.
Highly recommend it.
I got you. And everybody listening should watch it too. But so being able to let go of that type of, not pride, but like that mindset that it's like the world is against me because I'm Black. That's something that you have to unlearn as a Black man, and be able to understand that some things you're going to have to work twice as hard for because of your skin color and who you are. But don't let that turn you into an angry person. Let that turn you into a more ambitious person that's more excited to do what he does because he is Black in America. It's twice as impressive when a Black man can travel to another country and speak that country's language. But you'll never be able to do that if all you think about is being a Black man. So yes, it's important to look in the mirror, but sometimes you got to step outside of that person that's in the mirror and become whatever it is you want to be outside of the meat sack that you're in. It's really your soul that drives you and makes you who you are. It's really your character that's going to appeal to people. You know, even back when things were hard or super hard to be Black in America, it was tiny moments in people's lives where a white person will help a Black person because they see something inside that person, regardless of whoever's background is whatever. And we get caught up only on the stuff that's front scenes, like the water hoses or the white man saying the N-word or the white woman sleeping with the Black guy and the white man is getting mad at the Black guy. So shit like that. It was times where people have come in the clutch simply because they saw something in a person. So if you're able to develop that character that's on the inside and then do your best to display that to the world, and whatever that may look like, that may be through music, that may be through painting, speaking, dressing up, driving a car, I don't know, talking to random people. If you work at a restaurant, talking to the customers in a nice way, people will see that in you, and then they'll grab it and try to help you bring it outside of yourself. Something I've been pushing a lot more recently is that it's way easier for people to see what's inside of you than it is for you to see what's inside of you. And I think that's almost like the situation that we were talking about in terms of living in the same place and getting tired of the same place. And it goes, you get so used to being inside your own body. You grow up with yourself. So you're not paying attention to everything that has changed all the time. And I know what they call it, self-intuition. I don't know. Being aware of yourself. Yeah, self-awareness. Yeah. Being aware of yourself is not something that we always do. And that's okay. Because if we were always self-aware, we'd probably become super self-conscious of what everything we're doing. So it's okay that sometimes we lose track of what we're doing and then we come back and say, oh, I've came this far. But a lot of people are going to see you progress way faster than you're going to see yourself progress. And when they see that, they're going to want to help bring you up. So it's all about understanding who's there to help you and then using that help and believing in yourself and understanding that you are worthy of the help that you're receiving. You are worthy of the blessings that you are receiving. You are worthy of everything that is happening in your life. And things don't happen to you, they happen for you. So even if they may seem bad surface level, it's something deeper than that. It's always something deeper than what we see surface level. And that's just something I really like to press on to people. It's all, everything is behind the scenes. Everything working for you behind the scenes. Your name is brought up in rooms that you have never stepped into before. Your name is brought up in conversations that you thought you would never be a part of. People have seen you. You just don't know that they have seen you. My podcast has probably been seen by celebrities and I don't even know it, but they was like, maybe I'll wait till I see him again to support him on this. You know, so it's more than what the analytics show. And
yeah,
I like to connect that back to what we was talking about in terms of the views. I really like that viewpoint you had on it. It's like, whatever the fuck, that's the algorithm. It's going to touch whoever it needs to touch. And it's beyond that. Yeah, 231 people view a video, but you don't know who the 231 people were. You know what I'm saying? It only takes one person to see the video for it to go everywhere else. You only have to be right one time. You only have to make the right move one time. And it's you always one step away and you're always stepping into something. It's okay to
just never know.
Yeah.
You just never know. Well, yeah. Austin, I have to go.
Okay, that's great.
It has been lovely talking to you, but I want to make sure that I have your Instagram handle.
Okay. It's Austin Enix, AustinEnoex. And then the podcast. Yeah. And then the podcast's Instagram handle is Bro We Talking. So BROW.
Okay, well, I made a little video of you just now talking that I'm going to put on my stories today. So,
okay, I appreciate that so much.
Thank you. I'm sorry I have to go, but okay. It's been 45 minutes, so you know. Yeah, I appreciate you. I don't know how you found me, but I'm glad you did. It's been really lovely talking to you, and I'm glad that you don't let the negativity of this very white country get to you. It's a little scary sometimes. And I wish you the best. I think you're going to have a beautiful life.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'll make sure.
When the podcast airs so I can promote it.
Okay, I got you. So it'll probably be a couple weeks. I'll try to double upload. It'll be a couple. I'll email you. I got your email. I'll just email you when it's coming out.
Okay. Thank you, Austin. I really wish you the best of luck. You're a beautiful, beautiful soul.
Thank you so much and have a great day. I appreciate it. Thank you for coming on. It means the world.
Thank you.